Welcome to Torah Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chana Meira Katz, and today we'll be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Kuf Vav. It's the last Mizmor in the fourth book. Since this is my final recording, I want to just acknowledge all the sources that have helped me craft these shiurim. In addition to the classical commentators like Malbim and Radak and the Alshich and the Ibn Ezra and Sforno, I use the Dat Mikra. I'm very grateful to the shiurim of Dr. Esther Schrapp and Rabbi Avishai David from Na'aleh. I'm also grateful to Rabbi Elchanan Samet and Rabbi Avi Bomel from Yeshivat Har Etzion, especially the section on Kabbalat Shabbos, and Dr. Benny Gesundheit from YU Torah. Yesterday, we discussed in Perek Kufhei, the idyllic version of Jewish history, where Hashem made a covenant with Avram and how he fulfilled it when he took us out of Egypt. He cared for us in the desert and he brought us to the land of Israel. Our Mizmor today, Kuvav, is a different perspective of the same story and is told through a mixture of emotions. 1-3 is the opening praise of Hashem. Sukkim 4-5 is a tefillah where we ask Hashem to merit seeing the redemption. And then the bulk of the Mizmor is a very long confession all the sins of Bnei Israel throughout Tanakh, 7 in the desert, 3 in the land of Israel, and then the Mizmor concludes with a tefillah for Hashem's salvation in Pasuk 47, a final praise to Hashem, and the ending of the fourth sefer in Pasuk 48. So the Mizmor opens with a praise to Hashem, very similar to the language that we find in Halal. Hallelujah, Hodel Hashem Kitov. So we pick up on the Hallelujah from yesterday, we repeat it, and praise Hashem, because he is good, his kindness is forever. And then the Mishorer asks the question, who can express the mighty acts of Hashem? Who can declare his praise? It's almost like he's asking for a volunteer. Who's good enough, who's worthy enough to come up and praise Hashem? So the Perek answers, Ashrei Shomrei Mishpat, Oseh Tzedaka B'chol Es. The one who does justice and charity at all times, such a person is worthy of praising Hashem. And the Mishorer really wants to be a part of this vision, even though he doesn't feel he's quite at that level. So he declares, Zochoreini Hashem b'rtzon amecha, pakdeini b'shuatecha. Remember me, Hashem, when you show your people favor. Have me in mind when you save. Lirot betovat bechirecha, lismach besimchat goecha, lehitalel im nachalatecha. To see the reward of your chosen ones, to rejoice in your nation's happiness, and the glory of those who are your inheritance. So we have some key words that are going to be repeated throughout our Mizmor. Zachreini, remembrance, Yeshuatecha, salvation, and lehitalel, which is praising. The Radak explains that the Jew in Galus, who's so far away, is yearning for the time when Hashem will favor his nation in the time of Mashiach and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash and reestablish the kingdom of David, and he desperately wants to be included in these events. So even though we sin and we rebel, the opening words of praise are repeated again in the end of the Mizmor. Our framework is how we desperately aspire to be close to Hashem, but we can't quite cut it. We keep making mistakes. Pasuk Vav 6 opens with the main theme of the Perek. Chatanu im avoseinu, hevinu hirshanu. We've sinned like our fathers. We've acted wrongly and been wicked. Where do we see this formula? So you probably recognize it from when we do our video on Yom Kippur. But where did the people who compiled the Tefillah get it from? There are three sources in Tanakh. The first is Shlomo HaMelech, when he gives his inaugural tefillah, when he builds the Beit HaMikdash. He says a tefillah, he says a prayer, he says, I know the Jewish people will one day sin, and they'll be sent out of the land. But when they want to do teshuva, please listen to them. And he says, V'hitchananu elecha, and we will plead to you, Be'eretz shoveihem, from the land of their bondage, Lemor saying, Chatanu ve'evinu rashanu, the same formula. Then, the next source is Daniel, who's actually in exile, and he is wondering how long the galut will be, because Yirmiyahu promised it would be 70 years, and there was a lot of confusion about when the 70 years would start and end. So he's asking Hashem, why are we still in exile? And he uses the formula, Chatanu v'avinu v'rishanu, the same one, and then he adds another line that might be familiar to you. Lecha Hashem hatzdaka, to you Hashem is the righteousness, v'lanu bashat hapanim, and to us is shame and embarrassment. La Hashem Elokeinu harachamim, to Hashem our God is mercy, v'haslichos, and forgiveness, Kimoradnabo, we have rebelled against him. And then Nehemiah, when he gathers the Jews during the beginning of the Second Temple era, he arranges a whole gathering of teshuva because the people are not where they're supposed to be. There's intermarriages, breaking Shabbos, and he leads them in a communal confession, and they say, you are correct in anything that happens to us. It's justified because you do truth and we have sinned. Again, we recognize this formula from Yom Kippur. So Kuf Hei is Hashem's idyllic vision for us. This is what he really wants to give us. And in Kuf Vav, far in Galut, we call to Hashem and say, we so aspire to your vision, but we're human. We sin. Our forefathers sin. We keep failing. And then we list all the sins. So we start off with the seven sins of the generation of the desert. First, even leaving Egypt from 7 to 12. Avoseinu b'Mitzrayim, our forefathers in Egypt, lo hiskilu niflotecha, they didn't comprehend your wonders. Lo zachru et rov chasadecha, they didn't remember your abundant kindness, right? And they rebelled against you at the splitting of the sea. V'yoshiem l'man shmo, but you saved them anyway for the sake of your name, so people would see your greatness. V'yoshiem yatzoneh, you took us out from our enemies. V'yigualeh miyad oyev, you redeemed us. So what happened? For one hot second, v'yaminu bidvarav yashir tilasot. The Jews sang Shira of Az Yashir, but that moment didn't last long. Because very soon after, when we got to the desert, we had Kivrot HaTa'ava, the Jews are desiring meat. And we say 13 to 15, Miharu shechachu ma'asav, they quickly forgot his deeds. Lo chiku la'atzato, they did not put their trust in his advice, and they desired meat. So in Kuf Hei, it tells us as part of this romantic vision Hashem gave us. Bread, he gave us meat. Here we have the flip side. Actually, the Jews complained and Hashem was angry and a lot of people died. It wasn't quite as rosy as the Perek before depicted it. Now we have the rebellion of Korach. All the different sins of the desert are not written in order. It's written in a different order. That's a shiur for another time. So the rebellion of Korach is 16 to 18. The golden calf is 19 to 23, even though in reality, golden calf happened before the rebellion of Korah. B'nai Yisrael turn on the very Shaliach who Hashem sent in Kuf Hei to say the Moshe Rabbeinu, and they also forget Hashem. They forget all the wonders and miracles. And Hashem's angry. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Vayomer Lahashmidam, he said he would destroy them. Lule Moshe Bechira, if not for Moshe, his chosen one, Amad Baperetz, who stood before him to fill the breach, Lahashiv Chamatam Mahashchi, to restrain his anger from consuming them. Moshe is continuing his mission from Kuf Hei, even though the Jews do not appreciate him and they keep arguing with him and shouting at him. He still stands up and he begs Hashem for forgiveness for the Jewish people. Despite this, the Jews continue to rebel. And 24 to 27, we have the sin of the spies. Now remember when we spoke about Baruch Hinafshi, I told you that Tehillim will fill in extra details that you don't always see in the Torah. So here's another example of this. In the Torah, we're told that when the Jews cried, Hashem decreed that that generation of the desert would die over a period of 40 years and the next generation would enter the desert. Here we have an added detail. Vayisa yada lahem la'apil otom bamidbar. He lifted his hand against them to fell them in the desert, to kill them in the desert. But not only that, ula'apil zarom bagoyim ulazaratom ba'aratzot, to cast down their descendants among the nations and disperse them through the land. So Radak teaches us that every subsequent exile is the result of the sin of the spies and the Jews crying for nothing. 28 to 31 is the sin of Baal Peor. This is where the Jewish people worshipped an idol in a manner that involved immorality, and they sinned with the women of Moab, and specifically the tribe of Shimon. Their leader led the charge of this sin, and this is why there are only 11 mizmorim in our book, because Moshe did not want to give a mizmor to the tribe of Shimon. He was very angry about this incident, and it resulted in a devastating plague that killed many Jews. During every one of these rebellions, Moshe stands up and he prays on behalf of the Jews, but eventually even he is pushed too far. And this is the story of the hitting of the rock, 32 to 33. The Jews are thirsty. They pray for water. They're complaining for water. And Moshe hits the rock instead of speaking to the rock. This is very different from yesterday's perek of Hashem provided them with water and it was wonderful. No, this cost Moshe Rabbeinu his opportunity to enter the land of Israel. And then finally, when the Jewish people make it after 40 years to Israel, They continue to sin. They don't defeat the Canaanim like they were instructed to, the Canaanites, and they adopt their ways. They worship their idols. And not only that, they commit the three cardinal sins that eventually lead to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. They worship idols. They commit murders. They are immoral. And ultimately, the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. So in Kuf Hei, we have Hashem's vision, which is take the Jews out of Egypt, give them the Torah, bring them to the land of Israel. In Kuf Vav, we see that B'nai Israel can't aspire to this vision. They violate the Torah, they forget about Egypt, and they are exiled from the land. And so the next section discusses the exile in Pasuk Mem. Vayichar af Hashem ba'amo. Hashem was angry with his people. Vayita'ev, he was disgusted at Nachalato. Remember that word Nachala, the land of Israel, the Jewish people being given the land of Israel. Vayitnei b'yad goyim, and he gave them to the hands of the nations of the world. Vayimshalu b'hem soneihem, and now the enemies are ruling on them. So we're right back to where we started in Kuf Hei, back in exile, back to being subjugated by foreign nations. And now at the end of this whole litany of Averot, whole litany of sins, even though we made Hashem so angry, what does Hashem do? Vayareh b'tzar lahem, God sees our suffering. B'shamat rina tam, he hears our prayer. So at the beginning, we use rina as a song. Now we're using it as a prayer. Vayiskor lahem brita, and he remembered his covenant. Vayinachem, and he relented. Karov chasidav, out of his tremendous mercy. So yesterday, during Hashem's optimistic vision, we ended off. Ki zachar davar kocha, he remembered his holy word to Avram Avdava. Vayotzia mal b'sasam barina, and he took the Jews out of Egypt with joyful song. Now we flip this in Kafvav and we say, Hashem is remembering us because of our rina, our prayer in distress, and he's remembering us for our sake. And we say, Hoshienu Hashem Elokeinu, save us Hashem our God, v'kapitzenu min hagoyim, gather us in from the nations, lahodot, so we can acknowledge Hashem Kodshecha, your holy name, ulehishtabach b'sihilasecha, and to praise you. The tefillah ends with an expression of praise, just like we started at the beginning. So we have this extreme praise, prayer, sin, confession, despair, hope. Hashem has this perfect vision because Hashem is perfect. And all he wants for us is good. But our reality, in contrast, is messy because it's the story of man. We aspire, we try accomplish, we aim high, but we're human and inevitably we will fail. The three people we discussed in the beginning understood the nature of man, and each of them, at the beginning of the Beit HaMikdash, during the exile, and the beginning of the Second Temple, all understood that as much as we aspire for greatness, inevitably we would trip up. And in spite of this all, we still aspire to be that person. Shomrei Mishpat, Vaseh Tzedakah, B'chol Et. We still dream big, and this formula actually is mentioned in the Navi Yeshaya. He says to us in Yeshayahu Nun Vav, which is 56, the first Pasuk, Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Shimru Mishpat, Vasu Tzedakah, guard my laws, do kindness, ki krova yeshuati, because my salvation is close, lavo, to come, v'tzidkasi lehigolot, and I will show kindness to you to redeem you. If we want Hashem to do chesed with us and redeem us, we need to start the process by doing chesed with each other, because that ultimately will bring the geula. So yes, we're human, and yes, we'll fail, but we do have steps that we can take to bring the geula. Now, before we close the parak, I just want to take a minute to focus our attention on the role of Moshe Rabbeinu, because the fourth book of Tehillim is Moshe's Sefer. He appears throughout Tehillim 8 times, 7 in our book, and notice the progression. He was at the very beginning, and now these last three parakim is coming up more and more often, and in this very last parak, 3 times. The same Moshe, who led the Jews in the desert through all their peaks and lows, is qualified to give us guidance on how to navigate our current galus. When we began the beginning of the Sefer in Perek Tzadi, Moshe calls out, Shuva Hashem, Admasa, return to us Hashem, for how long? V'hinachem al avdecha, how long will you be angry at your servant? Sabeinu baboker chastecha, satisfy us in the morning with your kindness. And then we'll sing to you. Do you see the words coming up again, the theme words? Hinachem, chesed, nirananah, the same words keep coming up. And now we finish off at the end. Vayiskor lahem brito, Hashem remembered his promise. Vayinachem, he relented. Karov chasta, because of his kindness. So Moshe's tefillah in the beginning is answered at the end of Kuf Vav. We begin our sefer with Moshe's tefillah, where he says, Hashem ma'onata yisa, you are our shelter, u'me'alam adalam atokel, and forever and ever you are our God. And the very last pasuk of our sefer, we finish, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, min ha'olam va'ad ha'olam va'amar kol ha'am, amen ha'luka. The same Moshe who davened for us in the desert continues to daven for us through the exile. We don't yet have the return of Malchut Beit David and the Beit HaMikdash, but we do have Moshe's Torah and Moshe's teachings to help us to aspire to Mishpat and Staka. So that is the contrast between 105 and 106. It's the contrast between ideal and reality. 106 tells us that we can still close the gap. We might not be perfect, but we can still achieve greatness. This comparison, and actually the whole of the fourth sefer, is the message of Tanakh. My teacher, Dr. Yael Ziegler, always says this. Hashem sets very high expectations of us. We will inevitably fail because we're human and humans make mistakes. But even so, even though we're finite and mortal, which was the song of Perek 90, we have a chelek elokit mimal. We have a nefesh from Baruch Nafshi inside of us. Through the teachings of Moshe and the tefillos of David, we express our belief in Hashem, and the sefer teaches us that Hashem believes in us. Thank you for studying Le'ilu Nishmat Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sherry Tapleta. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzhak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.